watching on live stream. In the Gospel of John, in the 12th chapter, the 12th verse, it talks about this day, Palm Sunday. It says, "The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out." Those are very important words today. They cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, this began Holy Week, the week Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the crowds were honoring him and worshiping him and throwing palm branches and clothes on the road where the donkey would carry him into the city. Imagine throngs and masses of people and all of them crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was a victory parade that day. But within hours, in just a few days, popular opinion would change radically. The same crowd, the masses, that were ready to enthrone him as a natural king over Israel would turn on him. Even some of his faithful, most faithful people would betray him and even deny knowing him before the week was out. We are marking that entrance, that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on the very first Palm Sunday. But I feel like with everything in the world going on like it is, that I should address some other things in addition to his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Last week, I talked about the turning point. I asked the question, how should Christians deal with this pandemic at a spiritual level? We've talked for the last couple of weeks about there being a dual dimension. There is the natural world that we can see and touch. And then there is a spiritual dimension. It's in parallel to our natural world. And in the spiritual world, there are forces at war above our heads, good versus evil. And while the coronavirus has the attention of the world, it is a natural enemy. It's invisible. But first and foremost, so far as believers are concerned, we must address this enemy as a spiritual attack. We are at spiritual warfare. Last Sunday, I read the one verse of Scripture that is so relevant during this time because we live in a land in need of healing. And you remember the Scripture where God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." God said, if my people would repent, would turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a spiritual issue first, even before it is a natural virus that's spreading. Notice God's order. After we do what we're expected to do, God said he would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and then heal our land. So it is a sin issue that must be readdressed even by God's people. We must turn back more perfectly toward the great God Jehovah. And this is a cycle that has repeated itself down through thousands of years of our history as a people on earth. I drove the point home last week that before God delivers us in our day of trouble, he expects his people to do something, to humble themselves, to pray, to seek God's face and turn around. And he forgives our sin before he heals our land. Now, since this coronavirus pandemic has started, the rhythm of our lives has been disturbed. We're learning what's really important and what's not. We're learning to appreciate things that we took for granted. We have given up a whole lot that we didn't intend to lose right now. A lot of our freedom, our liberty, our flexibility to enjoy life that we called normal. And the rhythm of our life has been disturbed, and old cycles and old patterns have had to be replaced with a new rhythm. And Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday coming up next week is all about the Son of God coming to earth to break Old Testament patterns and cycles of behavior. I want to look at the cycles of behavior that are intrinsic to human nature. As long as there's been man, since Adam, the first man, and since his fall, these cycles have repeated itself in every culture and in every civilization. And they should have been limited to Old Testament. Jesus came to break the cycle of human behavior that was evil. But sadly, it continues even in our day, and we're enjoying the new covenant. Let's look quickly at these verses. Judges chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Listen to the story that happened in that day. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served false gods. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of their enemy, and they served their enemy for 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, there it is again, cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. And so the land had rest for 40 years. Now, there are four cycles that repeat themselves in human behavior. It goes back to the Old Testament, and it lingers even to our day. The four cycles that we just read about in those few verses are like this. The first is rebellion. And then there is retribution. And then there is repentance. And then finally, restoration. These are the four cycles that continually repeat themselves throughout human history. Shouldn't be so anymore. Jesus came to break that pattern. But it still exists today. Maybe we can learn some things. Rebellion, let's look at it first. It's the first of the four cycles. Rebellion, the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. Rebellion against Almighty God. And the Bible uses some horrible phrases like they played the harlot with other gods. Now, I heard someone say many years ago, I've never forgotten it, there are only two forces in the universe. Only two forces in the universe. First, there is submission to God's authority. Then secondly, and the only other option, is satanic rebellion. It's either submission to God's authority, or the only other option is satanic rebellion. And this is rebellion when people do evil in the sight of the Lord. I heard on the news, and I'm watching too much news. I am glad that the good news is spreading faster than the virus. There is good news spreading these days. But I heard one of the commentators when they were talking about people who will not honor social distancing, keeping a distance from other people, people who don't get that, people who are violating the guidelines, even some churches who are doing that. I have no judgment against anybody, but we love our people enough to do everything we can during this season of crisis to keep one another healthy and safe. And one commentator who was frustrated at the many in our country who are not honoring the guidelines. And the commentator said this: the behavior of one person affects everybody else. Now that's a radical statement, but when it comes to life in the spirit that we're living these days, that statement is also true. The way I live my life, the way I behave, affects everybody else. And the way you behave can affect everybody else. That is a statement that is true right now facing a natural crisis. It's also true as we walk and live in the Spirit when it comes to rebellion against God's authority. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's the first cycle. And then the second cycle is retribution. Retribution. Payback is hell. Dealing with the consequences of our action. So many times as this cycle repeated itself in the Old Testament, we would see that after God allowed rebellion to rise up even against His own authority, there did come a time where retribution and the consequences of bad behavior caught up with God's people. And people are having to deal with consequences of their actions. I want to ask a question to you parents. I am a parent. Here's the question. Have you ever been angry with your children? I think probably all parents know a little bit about that, but I don't think I've ever been this angry with my children, as angry as God was with His children, when the Bible says that the Lord's anger was hot against Israel. Imagine what that had to be like, for God's anger to be hot against His children. And today now, I want to clarify, today we live under the new covenant. And in the new covenant, by our faith in Jesus and by God's grace, we are pardoned and we're spared from falling into the hands of an angry God. So retribution is something that we should take seriously. We will have hell to pay for rebelling and doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the third cycle is repentance. Repentance. After rebellion and retribution, then there is repentance. The Bible says, I cried out to the Lord. That's repentance right there. People are repenting all over the nation, and it's beginning with believers. People are turning around and turning their heart more perfectly back to God while we're facing a crisis. It didn't have to come to this, but God is doing so much good in the church while the world is so dark out there. And it begins with repentance, the turnaround, the turning point, where we cry out to God. There was a gentleman in Virginia, I believe it was. He was on the news this past week, a young man in his 30s, and he had contracted the virus. And there he is on the screen, last name Baldwin. And the headline said, Baldwin said That's when he cried out to God. And this gentleman here suffering with coronavirus, and by the way, he's well, he's a survivor, he's going to be okay, but he said, all I had was the Lord. That's what it's come to. I mean, if we have put our trust and our faith in anything other than God, we are being awakened right now. I had no idea some freedoms and liberties and the wonderful rhythm of my everyday life could be stripped away like it has been. People are beginning to wonder if when things do get back to normal, what will normal even look like moving forward? And we have learned in recent days how fragile even our economy is. The entire world's economy could disappear, and we have no control over much during this time. And the truth is, we don't have much control any time. Our great hope for the church and the world is repentance, to cry out to the Lord, to turn back to God. It begins with His people, and the world is watching, and we, the church, have great opportunities right now, better than I've seen in my lifetime, I believe, to rise up to the challenge and be the church God wants us to be. I mentioned last week that true repentance is changing your mind. We are changing our mind about some things. We're being forced to look at everything and forced to change our mind about some things. Repentance is changing our mind and agreeing with what God thinks and what He says about everything. Last week I said it simply like this. This should be our prayer of repentance as we cry out to the Lord. Our prayer should be, Lord, change my mind about everything You and I don't already agree on. This is a time when, in the natural, we are sanitizing our homes. This is a time when, in the spirit, we should be sanctifying our homes. Our homes should be sanitized and sanctified. The church is being purified. We're becoming brighter, more brilliant, stronger. We're not weaker because of this. We're stronger. We're going to be a better church because of this. And it hinges on that third cycle, crying out to the Lord in repentance to God, choosing to submit to God's word and His authority than to continue in rebellion and living in ways that don't please the Lord. And so this is the cycle. It's rebellion. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. Secondly, there's retribution. There is hell to pay for rebellion and disobedience. But then finally, we reach the turning point, which is repentance. That's when we cry out to the Lord, change my mind about everything You and I don't already agree on. And then fourthly, and the last cycle, is restoration. God restores. And our restored state is greater than our original condition. David, the psalmist, knew what restoration was like. He said, He restoreth my soul. And God makes up for our losses and gives back more than we previously had. God is such a restorer. We're going to see the restoration of God. And when He fully and finally restores us, we're going to be in better shape than we've ever been. As an individual believer, as a church, as the body of Christ all over the world, this is going to be restored. And then Isaiah said, in their land they shall possess double. It's like God pays double for the trouble you've been through. That was the way it was in the life of Job. He suffered great loss. But one of the last verses in the book of Job says, "And God blessed the latter days of Job with twice as much as he had before." So we are believing God for restoration, restoration of our health, restoration of every benefit that comes with salvation, everything that looks like it's in jeopardy right now because of the economy and because of the threat to our own health and our lives. This is temporary. It will go away. And God can teach us some things on this journey. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that God sent this curse to teach us something. I don't curse my children when I want to teach them something. God doesn't have to work through a curse. He doesn't have to bring a pandemic on the planet to teach us something. But God can teach His children truth in every situation, even in a crisis like this. Now, Joel's prophecy in the Old Testament, God said, "I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten." So we are in repentance right now. We've been through rebellion. We've been through retribution. Payback was hell. Now we're in a season where our hearts are turning in repentance. We're crying out to the Lord. And the next cycle that we will see on the horizon is restoration. God is going to restore everything we've lost during this time. Now, there it is, those four cycles: rebellion, retribution, repentance, and then restoration. You would think after God's people had been through that one time, that cycle one time, they would have learned. But that's not the case. That cycle is repeated in the Old Testament 13 times. So many cultures, so many generations, so many civilizations had to learn it themselves in their day and had to repeat this cycle of human misbehavior over and over again. You would think we would have learned. And then the good news we're celebrating next Sunday, Easter Sunday, is Jesus came to break the cycle and to break the pattern of these four behaviors in humanity. And still, you know, even though it's an Old Testament paradigm, it's a model that should be limited to the Old Testament. Jesus came to break that. We're still seeing it today. We're living far beneath our standard as believers. Now, just to show you, it happens 13 times. That behavior, that cycle, that pattern repeating itself 13 times. You'll see it 4 times in the book of Judges, 6 times in the book of 1 Kings, 2 times in the book of 2 Kings, and once in 1 Chronicles. Those very things. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. It begins with that. It begins with the people doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And then natural circumstances realign and come against God's people as retribution. And then finally, when the pressure is on and people realize we'd better turn back to God, look at what's happening to us, then repentance starts working. And then after we've cried out to the Lord and we've turned perfectly back to God, His process of restoration takes place. But this cycle repeated itself. For example, in Judges chapter 4, verse 1, listen to what it says. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, after they had just survived the previous cycle. There it goes again. So let's learn everything that we can during this real life experience. And the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. He will take what's meant for evil and turn it around for something good in our lives. And the pattern should be broken at your house, at my house, in the church. This repeated cycle should be broken. It's an Old Testament model. But because we live under a new covenant, where by our faith in Jesus and by God's grace, we are not bound to repeat that pattern and that cycle again.